We're going to be going to Genesis chapter 9, and in our Bible, we're going through the book of Genesis, and I want to talk to you about God-ordained human government, which is where Genesis chapter 9 starts human government here. By way of introduction, as I said, we're already in Genesis chapter 9, and things have changed a lot since the Garden of Eden. A man has been allowed to do as he pleases, and it has ended in absolute disaster. It's the same with children. Just let kids be without supervision for about 6 hours, and you have a mess to clean up, amen? And God, and that doesn't end with childhood. Without laws, without governing, they are a mess. That's why we need parents. That's why God designed authority. We've learned God made a covenant with mankind, and he said that he was finished with ever judging the world by water, which is kind of, it sounds good, and so he put a rainbow in the sky, and he said, no more rain that is going to flood the earth and kill everybody, but that doesn't mean he's not going to judge. Instead of water, it's going to be fire next time. So, but take the warning that if there is a way for God to make a promise, you better believe it, because there's a promise to escape the coming judgment. It's all in there. The gospel begins in the book of Genesis. It doesn't begin in Matthew, all right? So God made a covenant and a promise, and he gave a most marvelous reminder, a rainbow. So when you see a rainbow, don't only think of the physics and the spectrum and the electromagnetic spectrum, wavelength and all that stuff. Think of the promise. That's God showing you little tiny droplets are being used to reflect and separate light and all of that color. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. God gave us that reminder. And by the way, it's a reminder not of pride, but of promise. It is a symbol of God's grace when we should be judged. So people who've hijacked that symbol, they don't realize just how much grace God is giving them to even be breathing. So this morning, we're going to learn about subjects that churches don't talk about, and that is human government. But the Bible talks about it. This is not going to be a civics class. Now, I hope you learned civics. I hope you had government-type classes in school. But I'm telling you what, I find that most people have no authority higher than themselves. You ever heard this phrase coming out of your lips or out of your heart? You're not going to tell me what to do. That's in us, man. I find that if people don't already agree with something, they're going to complain and argue and fight. And it's like, why? They never imagine what the word rebellion means. Rebellion is not a good word, folks. God has purposefully ordained authorities over all of us. And of all people, Christians are to submit to authorities and respect authorities and honor authorities and pray for authorities. Why? Because they have God-given authority. That's the truth. You see, when somebody speaks about authority and speaks about submitting, you ought to just, I mean, you ought to hear the bones crack as everybody's neck starts to stiffen. Because we don't want to hear about this. Genesis chapter 4 and 5 and 6 prove that we cannot live as we please. We can't. A man left to himself is the worst kind of a man. He needs responsibility. He needs accountability. And if you just let somebody play on a PlayStation all day long and just do as they please, they will suffer and die a horrible death. They have nothing to live for. So we need to take responsibility for how not only we act, but also how others act. And that begins with submitting to and influencing governments for good. Let's pray. Father, as we start this message, I pray that you help me just be clear, helpful, God. This is a big subject because it's never dealt with. Even in school, all we talk about is bad government. And usually they are. But you ordained it. You set it up. And we need to see why and how we're to react to it, how we're to live under human government. I love your government, God. I appreciate the government of Christ. I appreciate the lordship of Jesus Christ over my life. But I live in two worlds. I live here still. How do I react when this government doesn't do right, doesn't treat me right, doesn't treat the things I value right? I pray, God, open our eyes that you designed this thing and you designed us. You gave us instructions of how to live in this world and to do things the right way to influence our government, to influence our world. Lord, I don't want anybody to go to hell. But the worst way to treat our government and the worst way to treat others when there is so much wrong is to rebel and to fight. And God, you told us to pray for, humble ourselves, submit and serve. And it's revolutionary. It's the exact opposite. So help us, Lord, today understand these great truths, because Jesus is our example. And he won. The most victorious person who ever lived died at the hands of an evil government. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So as we just review some of the things, look in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 5 and 6. I spoke about this 2 weeks ago. Surely your blood of your lives will I require. It's called accountability, responsibility. I'm going to require your blood and your life. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. What's he talking about? If an animal kills a man, that animal should die, and usually it does because it's untamed. It's very dangerous. But we stop there and we say, oh, well, we'll try to rehabilitate the man. You may try, but it usually doesn't work. But God elevates it and says, at the hand of man who has murdered another man, that man must die. At the hand of every man's brother even will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, notice your Bible, by man, God says, don't expect me to kill him. By man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So all of a sudden, in one brief verse, government is now ordained. God never says, hey, listen, you hear of a murder over there. Let's all go over there. Let's show them our wrath. That's vigilantism. That's evil. If you don't have judges and courts, You have what's before the flood. You have the destruction of the world. You must have a system where people have authority over them and they know how to operate by laws. So God says people are no longer free to just treat other people as they please. No longer can they live without laws and without governments. This is the beginning of all government. God's saying, basically, he instigates the responsibility of mankind to create governors, kings, rulers, magistrates, mayors, presidents, prime ministers, Taoiseachs and Tanistas, judges and courts, Garda and teachers, faithful Bible-preaching pastors, create a safe, solid, stable society by having authorities, or else it'll collapse. And he says, introduce capital punishment. People are responsible for people's actions to the level. You can't just say, well, if you steal, then you get in trouble with the law. No, if you murder, you get in trouble with the law, as we say. And the punishment needs to equal the crime. Now, most people don't agree with that. I'm not a most people. I'm a Bible believer. As I said 2 weeks ago, it is very important for people to see that justice occurs. I've read in the paper so many times. When we first got here, I was very amazed how the courts here, especially in Cork, there'd be a joyrider going up through Holly Hill. And he'd do damage. He'd smash a car. Usually it was a guy. And he would try to go flying over the roundabouts and things. And so they'd change the roundabouts. And they'd catch him, and they'd bring him before the court. And this was his 32nd appearance before the court. And you kind of scratch your head and it says, I don't think justice is being served. People's lives are being put in danger. So we've got to trust that a government system brings justice, all right? And I'm going to point out these things to you in just a few minutes. It's called capital punishment because it is the avenging of the highest crime. Taking someone who was made in the image of God, doesn't matter male or female, doesn't matter what country they're from, it is wrong. By the way, I want you to hold your place here. We go to Acts chapter 25. You say, that's not very Christian. Really, Acts chapter 25, if you will. There in your New Testament, Acts chapter 25, Paul has been accused of a lot of things and is before a court, and he's appealing to Caesar, and he says, I'm going to take it all the way to the high court, which was Caesar at the time. And I'm in Acts chapter 25, and verse 10, Paul is standing, and he's speaking for his defense, and he says, then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. I am appealing all the way up to the highest court there, Roman court, by the way, but anyway, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be a offender or have committed anything worthy of, what's the next word? Wait a minute. Is he saying anything up to the point of death? No, he says, if I've done something worthy of death, I refuse not to die. Paul says, I believe in capital punishment. But if none of these things, if there be none of these things, these accusations whereof they accuse me, no man may be deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. So this is the beginning of all human governments. All governments, whether they're Soviet, communistic, dictators, emperors, monarchies, democratic, constitutional republics, aristocracies, oligarchies, theocracies, republics, tribalism, fascism. All over this world, there are all kinds of governments going on. Whatever the form of government you find yourself under, and I'm glad I live in Ireland. Anybody else glad they live here? I think we live in a very free country, amen. For all of its mess, it's better than 75% of the rest of the world, amen. But no matter what government, whatever form of government you find yourself under, that government is there by the decree of God. That's what the Bible says. Not that God promotes how they treat people or what they do, but their position of authority is given to them by God. You see, Genesis proves that human government is a good thing. You may not agree with it, but it is. And by the way, what a government does may not be good, but their place of authority is authorized. Human government, according to the book of Genesis, is created by God. Do you know God created the human family? Did it do a good job with that? Yes. Even though that guy you're sitting next to is a mess. Even though those children don't do what you ask, God created the human family. Did God create and design a church? Yes or no? We're filled with imperfect people, but this is God's design. So also is human government. It's designed by God for a very powerful purpose. Even though every form of human government is flawed and prone to abuse, it is good. Now, if you skip Genesis, you will always mock and rebel against every form of human government and authority. And a Christian cannot easily do that. Go to Jude. We actually leave Genesis. We're going to go to Jude, and we'll go to Romans after this. Jude, the second to the last book in your New Testament, just before Revelation, is a little book of Jude. Jude, there's only one chapter, so look down to verse 8. I want you to see how God speaks about people who don't respect any authority. Jude chapter 1 and verse 8 says, likewise also these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. They do things to their flesh, drugs, pornography, things that affect them internally. They defile their flesh. They, what's the next two words? Despise dominion. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. And they speak evil of dignities. You know what a dignity is? Somebody above you. Somebody that's in charge of stuff. And that's not a Christian. Those are evil people. And yet I hear Christians talking evil. I catch myself sometimes talking evil of people in positions of authority. That ought not to be so. Let's keep going to verse 9. Yet, even Michael, was he just a low-life angel? What does the Bible say? The archangel. I mean, this guy's really up. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses after Moses died. He durst not, he did not bring against Satan a railing accusation. Didn't take it upon himself to try to wrestle and fight the devil. But he said, the Lord's going to rebuke you. Amen. He said, my authority will take care of you. Even though, man, the devil's no good, man. But he backed off and he said, Satan has a position of a power and God will judge him and deal with him. So let's get to our message here. Go to Romans chapter 13. If government is established by God, how do I treat it? How do I treat it? Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Look, verse 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There are lots of layers sometimes above us. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained, let's use these words, are set up, authorized of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, you're resisting the ordinance of God. And they who resist shall receive to themselves damnation, not eternal damnation, but it's condemnation. You're getting in trouble. So just those two verses, here's the point. All the positions of power that are in our, over you, okay? I guess, I could, if I was in Zimbabwe, if I was in Zambia, if I was in Australia, if I was in New Zealand, if we were in Venezuela, it doesn't matter. This Bible works everywhere. And all the positions of power that are above you were established by God. You say, well, they're not doing right. I know. We'll deal with that in a moment. Now, when we talk about higher powers, we're talking about rulers and kings and garda and teachers. I mean, we live in a crazy world. If my teacher ever sent a note home to my parents, I hoped to die on the way home. Because I knew I would die when I got home. I mean, that teacher had great power. Now, yeah, there's abuse. I understand all that. But there was a time when you didn't cross a teacher. I read, there was an article about how teachers are heavily abused today. Heavily. I mean, there's a teacher that is crippled because some kid smashed her arm and broke a bone and triggered a nerve there. She can't survive. She just can't live because of school. So, God has established. I want you to go to Daniel. We're going to leave Romans for a minute. Go to Daniel in your Old Testament. If you go to Matthew and go left, or if you find Ezekiel, find the next book after Ezekiel, you'll find Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. I hope to get you familiar with some other scriptures this morning that maybe you haven't read in a while or hadn't connected. Speaking of God, Daniel says he changes the times and the seasons, and he does. I mean, look at our seasons. Wish he would change them differently. But anyway, he changes the times and the seasons. He, God, removeth kings, and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So God does what he does, is this point. Go to chapter 4. Well, let's see what he does in particular. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. And Daniel's warning Nebuchadnezzar that he's in trouble because he's so full of pride. He thinks that all of his accomplishments were done by himself. And so Daniel's saying, tough times coming. 7 years are coming upon you. God's going to humble you. But look at what God says in verse 17. This matter coming up in judgment against you, Nebuchadnezzar, is by the decree of the watchers, those are angels, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, other angels, to the intent that the living may know what's about to happen to you, O King Nebuchadnezzar, is so that everyone knows that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and he setteth up over it what kind of men? You say, wait a minute, God would never put so-and-so, he'd never put Putin into that place. He would never put Trump into the president. He would never. Yes, he would. You see, we go, what did they do electing them? Why is he still in power? You better stop figuring all that out and start realizing how we're supposed to react to them. Show you another one. Go to chapter, sales in chapter 4, look in verse 25. It doesn't say he puts up the best of men. He puts up the lowest sometimes and the basest. The bottom people, the bottom feeders. Look at chapter 4, verse 25. That they shall drive thee, Nebuchadnezzar, from men. People are going to kick you out of the kingdom, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. You used to dine on the best of foods. You're going to now be eating grass like oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. You're going to live out in the open. And 7 years shall pass over thee. Why? So that you would know. You'll stay there until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will. I'm telling you, people or authorities and positions of power are there by God, and people are put there by God. You say, well, I never would have voted him. Sometimes you're not allowed to vote. Go to Proverbs. You're in Daniel. Go back to the left. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 15. Proverbs 8:15. Now this is God, and he's speaking particularly of God's kind of wisdom. He says, by me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. So when there are kings in power and there are princes having authority, God's doing it. I'll show you another one. John. This will blow your mind. John chapter 19. Gospel of John chapter 19, in verse 10. John 19, 10, Jesus has been captured, if you want to call it that. Judas has betrayed him. Mob has arrested him, dragged him before the Sanhedrin. They have beat him through 6 different trials that were mock trials, each time beating him senseless. And then they stand him before Pilate. He's basically completely crippled almost with the beatings. He's bloody. It's hard for him to speak. And here's what, verse 10. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Don't you defend yourself? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? And I have, here's our word, authority. I have the power to release thee. Won't you at least appeal to me? I could set you free. And listen to Jesus. Jesus answered. Again, his mouth is swollen. His teeth have been possibly broken. His tongue is swollen. He's got blood all over his face. And he says this, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. This is really rich. Jesus is standing there saying, no, there's a power that put you into place, and there's a power that put that into place, and there's a power that put that leader into place, and that's the power you need to worry about, not me, and not your own thoughts. So God established authority. He ordained authority. Now, this is hard. Now, the government we find ourselves under was appointed by God. It was instituted by God. It was established as valid and with power. It has authority. We have to see our government as ordained by God. That's what we are Christians are supposed to do. Why don't you go to Romans again. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He has authority. A government generally is not something you overthrow, unless it's under extreme circumstances. It is designed by God and has a very important job to do. And Paul even asks, aren't you afraid to fight it? I mean, I know, listen, YouTube is a curse. Facebook is a curse, because anybody get on there and rally people to go against the government, to go against their authorities. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, all you needed is somebody to start talking about what it was like living at home, and everybody would say, well, man, that's really bad. You should run away. We all gravitate to rebellion. And Paul says, aren't you afraid to do that? Look in verse 5. He says, wherefore ye must needs be subject. Oh, no, I want to hold there. Verse 4 says, he is the minister, we'd say the servant of God, to thee for your good. Christians hurt themselves when they live in rebellion, when they're just angry at how people have treated them. They're angry at their boss. They're angry at their parents. They're angry at their husband. They're angry at their wife. They have everything just against them, and they don't realize sometimes they're just in a position under somebody else, and the other somebody may be doing wrong, but who's above them? So if your eye's on them, you're going to be very hurt. But if your eye's on God, you're going to trust it's going to be okay. That's how Christians live. And here's the best part. Anybody who's in authority over you will answer to God. Amen. Saved or lost, Christian or Jew, Gentile, messed up, doesn't matter who they are, they will answer to God. All shall appear before the great white throne judgment, folks. Now, what's the role of government? Look there in Romans chapter 13, verse 3. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power that they have? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, you better be afraid. If you break into a home and you steal some of that stuff, you better run. Because I trust the government to come after you. Amen. Be afraid, for he beareth not the... And it doesn't say, you know, when I was growing up, my grandmother had a whooping spoon. Now, I knew what a whooping spoon was. That's just the term they use. My mom had one, and it took my breath away. But my grandmother's was a fly swatter with a pillow on it. It did nothing, all right? People in authority don't have grandma's whooping spoon. They have power, even to the point of a sword. For he is the minister of God. He's doing what God wants, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. So, what is the purpose? And by the way, God never says we should have a Christian government. That thing doesn't exist and never will exist. There is no such thing as a Christian. There have been Catholic governments. And boy, were there a mess. There have been Protestant governments. There have been Muslim governments and Buddhist governments. The whole thing. God's not promoting Christian governments. But he says that we as Christians should live under whatever government we're under and influence so that it is moral and godly. I'll show you that in a moment. So, as I said, they are appointed to restrain evil. They're authorized to be a terror to those who do evil. And I believe it. I'll use an example. He's not here. Joel was here a couple of weeks ago. And when Joel was 6 years old, we were in Tesco in Cork. And I don't know how, but Joel pulls out of his pocket. He says, look what I got from the shop, all right, from the store, from, I don't know, it was just a pack of candy. And I went, where'd you get that? Right over there. I went, we don't steal. And he said, I do. And I went, we got to escalate this thing. So there was a security guard over there, and I said, come with me. And we walked right over to the security guard, and I said, my son just stole that. Is there anything you could encourage him with? Now, this guy was about 3 foot wide, 6'2" tall, and he got down like this right in front of Joel, and he went, you don't want to steal around me, do you? That's bad. And all of a sudden, Joel starts crying, and Nita starts crying, and I say, give it to him. Put the fear of God in him. Amen. Yeah. Amen. They're there to make it so that people don't feel free and comfortable to steal. Right now, listen, people go through Cork right now into the stores, grab stuff, and nobody can touch them. Nobody can touch them. Governments are supposed to enforce rules and limits on people to protect rights, to enforce judgment, justice, to maintain order and safety. They're supposed to make it hard for gambling to occur. Do you know Ireland spent 2.5 billion euros on, spent 2.5 billion on gambling just last year. And out of that 202, I asked, you know, did the kind of research. They never tell you the whole thing, but the guess is less than 10% of that was won back. Somebody's pocketing 2.4 billion euros off of people who are desperate to find some quick money. Pornography, 300 billion is spent on people worldwide. It's a massive industry that destroys nine-year-olds. And I expect governments to stop that, not stop free speech. There's a difference. Rape. There were approximately 1,000 rapes reported in Ireland last year. I think the government needs to help some people. Robberies. Hundreds of homes were broken into and stolen from. I'll never forget the time ours was. We were coming home from church. As we come home, we see some guys climbing out of our upstairs window. It is really a frustrating feeling. Prostitution, sexual groom, did we? I ran, yes. I called. I don't want to go into the story because I had to hold on to them. They were really strong. Anyway, sexual grooming, trafficking, homosexuality. Governors and rulers were appointed to restrain. You can't stop evil, but you can restrain it. And by the way, government doesn't develop morality. Government protects morality. They enforce it. Morality is the only valid base for the law. Can you imagine if they made a new law? It's okay to steal. What if they did that? It would contradict everything that goes on inside of our heart. We go, you put 2 3-year-olds in one room and one toy. First one grabs it, starts playing with it. The other one grabs it and runs with it. And that first one screams, bloody murder. That's mine. We all know it's wrong. So laws are based basically on moral standards that we already know. And something is right or wrong according to something higher than society's whims. I hate it when they come up with these, what do they call it, where they call for a vote to change the Constitution. That bothers me. It's like, come on, we keep having these, what do they call it? It starts with an R. Referendum. Constantly new referendums here. Saying, well, we need to overturn, you know, 400 years of law so that we can make this legal. It's like, what are you doing? Now, I understand it's because a healthy government needs a healthy moral citizenry. It needs Christian citizenship, I believe with all my heart. Without moral citizens submitted to higher powers than themselves, a government will constantly have to create new laws and more laws and control its people. One of the presidents of the United States, back a long time ago, he admitted that the U.S. Constitution is only good for a moral and a religious people. It's not good for everybody. Because it doesn't help giving everybody rights when they don't respect them. By the way, let me tell you this. I really wish our government would do better, but the problem is not with our government. You know what the problem is with? Us. Listen to 2 Chronicles 7:14. You got a problem with your land, your crops, your weather. Got problems with violence in the land and cities being turned into hell holes. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, if they shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their evil ways. I got a whole culture out there that is wicked, but they're not the problem. If I get right, if I turn from my evil way, if we turn from our evil ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. So, we got to stop blaming and saying, our government is so evil. How about turning and saying, maybe it's my fault? Not totally, but maybe if I got right, God could fix them. So, they're there to punish wrongdoers. You know, back there in Genesis 9, we won't go there, but God, mankind is encouraged to produce life, not take it. Be fruitful, multiply. Don't kill each other. And if you do kill, they need to die too. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is equal justice. What does that mean? It means somebody punches you and hits and hurts your eye so you go blind. You should be able to be compensated the value of that eye to you. That's a lot of money. What if they knock out a tooth? You know, I don't know. Sometimes tooths aren't worth a lot. I don't know. The older you get. But I'm going to tell you, I like my teeth. Somebody knocks a tooth out, I think they ought to pay you the value of the tooth. That's what our Bible tells us. God calls for judges to examine cases and make punishments match the crimes. I wish I could take time. I've got a ton of research. But Judges, God sets them up. Deuteronomy chapter 16, Deuteronomy 19. Don't allow just one witness ruin somebody else's life. You got to have two or three. All of these things are listed in your Bible. Third, to honor those that do good. Romans 13, verse 3, he says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You ever hear of somebody at being a big gathering at, what's the main hall in Cork? City Hall. And they'll have a big thing where they honor something that's been going on or somebody who's been faithful in different things. And they honor people usually who are good. Now, I know they honor bad, but just stay with me. The purpose of it is to honor those that do good. They should be on, they should be up there watching for people who actually make a difference and why they help people instead of hurt. Psalm 12:8 says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. So don't we, I pray for our government not to honor these wicked people like Weinstein and Epstein were. You know, they need to learn the lesson. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Listen, we need to understand the role of government. The Bible says to honor those that are good, to maintain order in society. You ought to thank every police officer, every guarda. I go into Cork City on Friday or on Saturday, and the guard are standing there because the Palestinian weirdos are going through demanding that Ireland do all these things there. And there's 25 guard all standing there trying to keep order. There's no threat that I know of. But you know what? I go up to them and I say, thank you for your service. I'm not taking sides. I'm just telling them, thank you for your service. And they look at me. They're worried, like, what are you going to do next? But I appreciate them because their presence there is making it safe. Amen? We need to do that. You know, even though Ireland has a very pitiful army, and I don't mean that the army people. I'm talking about the commitment to protecting these shores. That army, anybody you see that's got the green outfit and they're giving their time and their life to serve in the Irish army, you know what you need to do? Walk up to them, shake their hand, and say, thank you for your service. Because they are ministers of God. They don't even know it. They're doing what is right to do. By the way, they're not here to take care of everybody. You know, most of our Irish government is welfare. Most expenses across the world of governments now is to take care of the population. You know what that is? A curse. You want to bankrupt every country? Then get the government to take care of everybody from cradle to grave. I believe the government ought to make it so that everybody can have a job, so everybody can work and have some self-respect, have something to do, something to build, something to freedom there. By the way, it's also not to be our mother. Good night, man. The Bible believer knows the government has limited power and needs to be limited. It doesn't need to check my Facebook. Government doesn't need to be checking on everybody's text message, stuff like this. I know they use all kinds of reasons to do this, but that's a mother nanny state. And it just makes it so nobody's free. God gave the world a higher power than any government. Go to Acts chapter 5. Back to the left, find Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter, James, and John are brought before the Sanhedrin there, and they're rebuking them, telling them, stop preaching about Jesus. We're commanding you. It's a law. We made it a law. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, you better obey our laws. In verse 29, I'm in the wrong chapter. Yeah. Then Peter, Acts 5, 29, and the other apostles answered and said, excuse me, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm going to the passage there in Daniel chapter 3. They were already in government. They already were submitting to the government. But when they were asked to bow down to an idol and worship an idol and praise an idol, they said, we will not comply. And Nebuchadnezzar threatened. He says, don't you know I'm going to put you into that fiery furnace? And nobody can deliver you. And they looked right up at him and says, our God is able. But if he doesn't, we still ain't going to bow. Because they were submitted to a higher authority. Aren't you glad there's a higher authority than your government? Daniel standing there, they made a law against praying. And you know what he did? He prayed. And they were so infuriated, we got him, and they threw him in the lion's den. And the next day, he walks out alive. He didn't have to. And by the way, throughout history, most Christians who have ever took a stand, listen to these words, most Christians who've ever took a stand for right usually paid with their lives. But Daniel didn't. And the point being, there is a power above the power. Praise God. What if you're suffering under unjust rulers? Jesus did. James did. Cost him his life. Stephen did. He was stoned. Paul did. He was later beheaded by Emperor Nero. Did you know Nero? He was a nutcase. He was literally a therapist's delight. He was a nutcase. He personally slaughtered tens of thousands of Christians during his brief four-year reign. And after him, just within the next 50 years, it became so popular to bring a group of Christians who wouldn't fight back. They would bring them and march them into the middle of the Colosseum, chain them to the center of that big platform there, walk away, and then release lions onto them. And they slaughtered, and the theory is 5 million people. I've heard a theory that it was up to 50 million people across the empire. Let me tell you, Christians, people who honor government, people who want to work with our government, suffer. You know what they did? They accepted it as the will of God. You'll find that hard, but you get to this Bible, you go, I'm glad there's an authority above, and I'm doing his will. Very important. So love God's laws. I'm just going to read this to you. Psalm 40, verse 8, David says this, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the YouTube. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Folks, let me tell you, if you spend all your time in just in the New Testament, you're going to miss the fact that God gave us a book of laws for safety. And it's not only good for you, it's good for your government. I'll talk about that in a second. Love God's laws, because God's laws are the highest authority to obey. Most of today's freedoms, people don't even realize it, most of today's freedoms that we enjoy came from the Old Testament Torah, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and come from the New Testament, both. Do you know Christ as a government? And I want to be brief. Go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Christ has a government. John 18, 33. John 18, 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and he called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king, the authority of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself? Did you figure this out, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? What have you done to make them so mad? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that. I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto something greater than your idea of a kingdom. I'm talking about the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. That's really cool. Christ's physical government is not active yet. He is a king, but his kingdom is not of this world, but it will come. Let me show you Isaiah. Here's a good Christmas verse. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end upon the throne of David, a literal throne, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Revelation 19, without going there, you know, when Jesus comes back, you know what he's crowned as? King of kings and Lord of lords. But it's not there yet. So until then, we're to submit to the powers that we find ourselves under. You know, I came to Ireland 32 years ago with my wife and family, and we came into Ireland. I could have expected the Irish government to honor my keeping of American laws. You know how long that would keep me here? I'd be kicked out very quickly. You know what I had to do? I had to change my whole life and submit to Irish laws, didn't I? Amen? Nod your head. When you're in a foreign country, you go to Spain, I don't care if you go to Australia, guess what? You have to live by their laws, don't you? Yes. And guess what? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. But I am here right now. And while I'm here, I have to submit to the laws that I find myself under. Nod your head. That's hard, because I want to say that they're wrong, and they are. There is no such thing as a Christian government. The Bible tells us how to live under any government. It tells us how to live under every authority, like your parents, like the authority of your husband, ladies, like the authority of your employer. As long as you work there, we live in a free society where you don't have to work somewhere. You can quit and go find another job. But if you're under your employer, you know what you need to do? Honor that person. Do what he or she says. And you have to live under the authority of God, even when they're mean. And you know what Jesus said? He said, you know what? Those Pharisees over there, they have a position of authority. I want you to do what they say, but don't do what they do. Isn't that breathtaking? Amen. So we submit, because it's what Jesus says do. Now let me fix something here. The Bible is not saying that rulers and authorities are always right. It is not saying that governments never become corrupted or tyrannical. The Bible never says that Christians must obey commands to sin. Over there in China, they made a law back 20 years ago. It's called the one-child law, if I'm not mistaken. You were allowed one child, and all other pregnancies had to be terminated by law. Should a Christian obey that? Not on your life. That's murder. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, when a Christian is commanded to sin, the Bible never says you have to do it. Not at all. When a government commands you to sin. The Bible teaches that there are no limits to governmental authority. They do have limits. And the Bible is not saying that unjust and immoral laws cannot be resisted. Civil disobedience is justified when a government commands what God forbids, or when it forbids what God commands. Amen. So what is our responsibility toward government? Number one, generally to obey. See, I'm going to find out how many of you really are Bible believers now. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I am just about done. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. I know you're starving. See, the more amens you say, the faster I go. 1 Peter 2, 13. Some of you are going, 1 Peter 2, 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance you agree with. It doesn't say that. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. You're doing it for him. Whether it be to the, we don't like that word. We live in Ireland. To the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by God for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Always staying free, as free, and yet not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, bad attitude, but also as the servants of God. So submit means to come under. That means you have to obey speed limits. You ever been on a road and you're going, why does it say 50? And it's a straight line for the next 6 miles. You have to obey speed limits. You have to obey no trespassing signs, seatbelt law, smoking bans, the payment of VAT and personal taxes. Did you know some governments require you to go to military service? Others ban all firearms. Why do we submit? Because Jesus says so. We do it to silence foolish, ignorant rebels who think they can do better. Secondly, honor all in authority. 1 Peter 2:17, look what he says. Honor all men. Love, man, the brotherhood. I just love coming here on a Sunday. I love being with everybody. Wouldn't it be terrible if half of you came in? It's like the, you ever hear in America, it's called the Hatfields and McCoys? And the whole point is, there are people you just never would shake hands with. You always turn your back to. Love the brotherhood. Look what else he says. Fear God, honor the king. He just puts a whole long list in there. Honor all in authority. Wicked men and women make a career out of speaking evil about authorities. That's what feminists are. I get real tired of the fact that feminists have sort of controlled TV, now wokeism has, and movies, but feminists basically speak evil about authority. There's nothing wrong with exposing evil. It's another thing to make it so that every man is evil. I already knew that. But they just make a whole life out of it. Anarchists. There are people right now demanding that churches talk about all these conspiracy theories, Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, talk about Putin every week and Trump every other week and honor this and do. You know what all that is? It's tearing our world apart. Folks, I'm supposed to honor people in authority. I'm supposed to, if I meet the Lord Mayor, I'm honored. I had the Lord Mayor call me one time. Did I tell you that? I had made a couple of suggestions to change some zoning things, and he got all the way to the Lord Mayor, and he phoned me. I forget his last name, O'Sullivan or something like that. And he phoned me up on a Saturday morning. I get this phone call, and I says, hello, good morning. And he said, hi, this is so-and-so, Lord Mayor of Cork. I went, right. Who are you? He says, I told you, I'm the Lord Mayor. I says, there's no way the Lord Mayor's calling me. He said, I guarantee you, I am the Lord Mayor of Cork. Da, 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 da. I'm calling about, and he told me, I said, you're the Lord Mayor. Talked to him about 25 minutes. He was excellent. Listen, once I found out who he was, I gave him honor because he was honoring me, giving me the time of day to talk about rezoning, stuff like this. Honor. I honor RTD. I honor T-shirt Meo Martin. If I met him, I'd shake his hand. And I'd tell him I'm praying for him. I'd tell him he needs to do some things a little bit better. But I honor all in authority. Do you? You notice the Bible says to pray for all in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm really stretched for time, I know, says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks, four things, be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Think about it. Do you take time to pray for those who are in authority over you? You can find fault with your husband. You can find fault with your parents. You can find fault. When was the last time you said, Lord, I better pray for him? I'm sorry, I got a bad attitude. The devil's behind that. Instead of my mouth being used to tear somebody down, I'm going to use my lips to build them up and to encourage and to bring the power of God on their life. Pray for all in authority. Do you do that? We do it on Wednesday night. Do you know what else the Bible says? Pay our government. Back there in Romans chapter 13, Wherefore ye needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So for this cause pay ye tribute also. Ouch. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore all their dues tribute to whom tribute is due. That's taxes. Custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Don't call yourself a Christ follower and a Bible believer if you don't pay your taxes. Yeah. Amen. Pay your government. Do you? I fight to not have to pay them everything, but I will pay my taxes. My job is to make sure I have a clear conscience and then I'm blameless. That's a Christian's life. Fifthly, influence our authorities. Have you forgotten? You have an influence. You have a TD there who is made to sit in his office waiting for you to show up and tell him that he needs to work on something. You can influence them. I've done it a couple of times. Every time I've gone to talk to our TD here in Ballincollig, one of them there, I bring everything and I show him. And he goes, I didn't know any of that. He has no idea. I don't know if he's too busy or what, but I got to influence him. Influence. Don't be silent. You know what John the Baptist did? He influenced his authorities. Elijah, who he stood up to the king. Moses, Peter. It's a nice thing to actually encourage them too. You can influence them by telling them, write them a letter saying, I prayed for you today. Wow. Do you? Be a part of government if you are allowed. It is not a sin for a Christian to be in government. It's hard. But it's a good thing for a Christian to be a part of government. Look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Joseph, 100 more in the Bible. Lastly, prepare the next generation. You know, it'd be really cool if some of these kids were being prepared to be in leadership, whether in a church or in government. We got to take the raising of our kids seriously, because if we just leave it up to the world to keep doing what they're doing, it only gets darker and darker. I've been watching. There are a lot of parents who spend all their time pushing their kids to learn rap music and record them singing rap music for their future life, singing rap music. Can you believe that? Playing endless video games. We need to prepare our kids for leadership and integrity, critical thinking, standing alone when necessary. Let's help parents and teachers train up a godly generation of future leaders. This is where it comes from. It used to come from the church. Now let's let it get back there again. Let's prepare the next generation. All right. God is serious when he says submit to our authorities. He gave the order that man is supposed to take responsibility for how they treat one another, how we treat one another. So if that's established by God, we need to respect our authorities. Submit willingly, not grudgingly. You know, when you resist the government, unless you have scripture, unless you have very serious reasons to submitting, resisting and rebelling against government or rebelling against any authority, is rebelling against God. It's very dangerous. Somebody's hurt you, leave vengeance to God. Take it to court, doesn't matter. But don't you do it yourself. By the way, authorities serve a divine purpose. They're no way perfect, but they're doing God's will. And I'm not asking you to honor them for their worth's sake. You know, it was hard to pray for, I'm having a burnout right now. The Taoiseach before Micheál Martin. Varadkar. It was hard to pray for Varadkar. I found it very hard. Yeah. It's hard to pray for the President Higgins because of what evil they brought into this country. But you know, I don't honor them because they're worth it. I honor it because Jesus is. And he tells me to. Folks, if you start to follow Jesus, you'll live different. He gives you eternal life in the future, but he gives you a godly life now, even under a government that may be wicked as hell or fairly free like it is now. The whole difference is, I'm not talking to people who are not saved. I'm talking to us Christians. You tell an unsaved person who's angry at the government, you're never going to fix them. But a Christian, we can fix the way that we look at our government, the way we pray for them, the way we influence them. Let's do that. Stand with me and let's bow in prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, church. Nobody looking around. I want you to think for a moment. Jesus, who is Lord of all, he asks us, he says, why call ye me Lord, and do not the things which I say? And if there is something we're good at, that is, we don't do what you say. We fight you. We keep our obedience very select. And that's not what you saved us to do. We could actually, as Christians, could change our world, not with an army, not with weapons, but with a right heart, repentant hearts, humbled hearts. We don't have to honor the things that our government may do. But you told us that human government was ordained by you, set up by you, and we have to take care to treat it right, to be right with it, so we can be right with you. And all that to say, isn't it marvelous that you came down into this world and submitted to a pagan system? And you did it as our example, God, because victory comes not with might, but by the Spirit of God, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. May we have victories in our home, because we see that our role in this life right now, this world is not our home, but we're here anyway. We've got to start taking our government serious and how we're supposed to relate to it and treat it. I pray that we do. If there's anybody in this room who struggles with any form of authority, maybe it's because they've never humbled themselves and been born again. They never got a new heart. The problem is in their own heart and the sin that's just built up and built up and built up. They've never repented. May they look to Jesus Christ and ask you to change them. If this is really how a Christian should live, I pray that people would ask, God, please change me. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing.